Sendai for, you know, because of the Americas, so because of the Charles. Yeah. So that's so, you know, grateful. So I think, I believe, it, so we need that help. We need getting help in the disaster relief, you know. And then so we as a church decided to that, we do the something for that Tohoku area, you know. That Tohoku is the north part of Japan. This Tokyo is a kind of south. So we take that, it take 5 hours to drive, by car. So we decided, we trained the disciples, you know, as a volunteer. So everybody can join the disaster relief. So this is the pictures, the volunteer training in the church buildings. So everybody, disciples, trained to the how to, you know, how to move the wheelchairs, how to do the massage, you know. Especially the guy in the wheelchair, he's a disciple, and he shared that how he feels, you know, the people in the wheelchairs, you know. So we did it, and then we started a program, volunteer program, that every weekend we sent that 10 or 12 people to the Sendai, the tsunami site, so do the volunteer. So every week we did that, and then many disciples joined the programs, so we do great. And then I think God's work through the difficult time. So 1 year later, we sent the hope, earthquake happened in March, and then we sent the hope team to the June, and then that's disciples. So 1 year later, we officially planted the Sendai Church, new church there. So because of the hope work. So actually, I'm originally from the Sendai, the tsunami site. So, and the first baptism of my father got baptized in the Sendai. So actually, we started the church there. So actually, my father is the back sheet. That's my father. I believe God can work even through the difficult times. That's amazing. So we keep this, doing that, you know, our hope work in the last 5 years. But God extends his work still extending. So this is our bakery store. We started that 2 years ago. We hiring the disabled people in the Sendai and the Tokyo. This is a very sustainable program. So we can keep working on the Sendai and the Tokyo. So that's, you know, we can planted the church at the same time in the we sent the hope team. So that's okay. Yeah, God working even through tough times. So that's my
amen. Thank you. So we have great works in Japan, and Yuda has done great job.
How do we change this, Yuda? Video.
Okay, now we're gonna see a movie about Philippines, and then Danny will share a little bit. Do we have the voice?
Yeah. I think HDMI is in there. Oh, okay. I don't think it's connected.
Suara bisa connect.
Oh, sudah. This one is already connected.
Already?
No sound.
It's actually
Hello brothers and sisters. My name is Meeks of Hope Worldwide, working here in Daan Bantayan, Cebu, and I'm here with the Northern Cebu Christian Church disciples who are the beneficiaries of your help. Would they receive the houses and the livelihood recovery project that you gave us? Thank you.
So.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Danny Kabatsan. I'm from Cebu, Philippines. I'm the one leading the church in Cebu with 320 disciples and overseeing the work in Northern Cebu. That's a part of Northern Cebu is part of the Cebu Church, and my wife and I are also leading, overseeing the work in the Visayas region. We have different churches in the Visayas. We have the Bohol Church, we have the Tacloban Church, we have the Iloilo, Bacolod, Aklan, Dumaguete Church, and also Cebu Church in that Visayas region. And basically, you know what happened a few years back when we were hit, the Philippines were hit by Haiyan, and many people died. In particular, three provinces were really hit hard. Number one is Tacloban, where the government said around almost 7,000 people died. But I'll be honest with you, we have more than that. Our estimate, probably around 12,000 to 17,000 or even more people died in one place only, in Tacloban. Plus many houses were destroyed, livelihood, everything. It was really devastating. Also, that Bantayan, which we have church as well, were also hit. I remember when Haiyan hit, for like few days, we've lost contact to our church in Tacloban. So we were kind of panicking what happened, and appreciate the work of the disciples in Manila, in Cebu. We rescued half of the disciples, half of the church. We brought them to Cebu and we took care of them, we housed them, because they were their lives were also threatened by, you know, what happened right there. First of all, I'd like to thank Charles for really helping us out through Hope Worldwide, and for our brothers and sisters who responded to the call and did not hesitate to help out. And because of that, many people were refreshed. I'd like to read a scripture that reminded us of how bad situations can be so good, in a way. And it reminded me of the scripture in Romans chapter 8, in verse 28, that says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him."
Amen.
"Who have been called according to His purpose." No matter how bad the situation, the challenges, the people die, the tears, the problems, disciples responded in such a way that eased the pain, but not only that, but made impact in the lives of people. And you know, we're grateful for the help all over the world, most especially by the Hope Worldwide. We just want you to know from the bottom of our hearts, from Cebu Church and the rest of the Visayan churches, we'd like to say thank you very much. One of the things also that helped us a lot is the relationships between the Hope and the church. Through this hard situation, it bonded us even more. We have very great, solid working relationships with Hope, with Charles, with our director in the Philippines, June, and with the rest of the guys. We've been working together side by side in helping out whatever Hope needed. Manpower, we're there. You know, call us anytime, we will help out. Needed some volunteers, people to work. That's the kind of relationship that was built through the hardships, through the disaster. In what happened to the Philippines. Just to give you some update, we had, through the help of, you know, Hope Worldwide, and also the Philippines staff, volunteers, and ICOC. There are now three centers of Hope in the Visayas region. Located in Tacloban, Ormoc, and Northern Cebu. Three Hope Centers. These three centers of Hope, ground floor areas, feature a daycare center for underprivileged children, a big meeting room designed for accommodating different livelihood training, and meetings for the volunteers, a computer library room for education program, a kitchen for children's feeding program, and a receiving area. The second floor with 230 square meters, these are all in three locations. We have this Hope Center now with size are now being constructed, some will still be constructed, with an auditorium that will be used for the church services. So we're helping out the community, but we're also helping out the souls of the community.
Amen.
In fact, because of what happened, the church in Northern Cebu, which was hit by Haiyan too, kind of, you know, because of what happened, they stood firm. God bless them. Today we've seen many people baptized in the church.
Amen.
Not only that, in Tacloban, you know, we have many people studying the Bible there for the past years. But what I'm really grateful about is we, this year, prayerfully, we will be planting another church, which is in Ormoc City, where we have the center.
Amen.
It's also hit. We'll be planting church there. We already have 7 disciples working. They're working for Hope. But also, they baptized 3 people already. The church is not yet there. We haven't officially planted it, but we already have a church because of the works of the Hope and the people working right there. Also, because of that, another church was planted because of, you know, Haiyan as well. And we sent the leaders of Hope to also work out in the mission field. So they're now working as Hope coordinator, but also as a church leader in Calibo Aklan, where you'll find the beach in Boracay.
Amen.
So we have, if you go to Boracay, you wanted to go swim and enjoy the place just like Bali, you go to Hope first, and then you go have your vacation in Boracay. But in closing, I'd like to say, you know, God works things in such a way that amazed you. Through the help and the heart of the disciples, you know, those people who help out abroad, help out the Philippines. I just want you to know that people are being saved, lives are being elevated, kids are being taken care of, souls are being saved, and we are making an impact in these places. Thank you.
So as getting ready, Krishna Binoda Hall worked for Hope a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago. Am I correct?
Yeah,
a long time ago. Yeah. He worked for Hope, and then he went on to grow his spirituality, and he started to leading the church. He led the church in Kathmandu. He went on the mission team in Biratnagar. Him and his wife, Poonam, leads the church in Nepal. So Dahal is going to share a little bit how disciples get involved when a disaster happened in Nepal. Please take your time.
Yeah, let's see this video first. I have a small collection here, we can see first. Silence. amazing we witnessed in Nepal last year, brothers and sisters. You know, it was first time I saw the disaster, and this is definitely heart-touching time we witnessed. It was at the Saturday. Nepal had church service on a Saturday because that's a national holiday. And we have three churches, Kathmandu, Pokhara, and Biratnagar. Well, Biratnagar we planted 2 years back, and me and my wife, Eileen, we are still in the same city. And the whole land was shaken. In the morning, 11:56 somewhere else, I was just standing up to preach. And all of a sudden, everything is shaken, and it was very terrible. But all the disciples are fine, but I can see this disaster. I think God worked through. The disciples became so united. And even being there in such a condition where what to do, we can see everybody helpless. And the brothers and sisters around the world, India, and even me going to Kathmandu before that, Charles was reaching to Kathmandu and searching the disciples everywhere. That is something amazing I felt, and connecting to various churches, different churches. I think disciples are so united. I think this is something, the uniqueness of the church and the kingdom's speciality, I feel. And the hope has given a hope to all these people who lost their houses and no food at the time, no shelter, and even Charles coming and connecting to so many people around the world. People are bringing blankets and tents, tarpaulin, and the food. Oh my God! I mean, that's so amazing time. All the disciples are involved, and they were coming and asking, bro, let us know what to do, because we were kind of guideless, and such a time where we need somebody who can instruct. And the brothers and sisters from India came, from even Singapore and from Western countries, and they were helping us to move ahead and helping to many people. And I think God is working on it. Government was a little bit scared with the NGOs and INGOs. Still, it's on. Because through them, the Christianity will grow in the country, because it's a Hindu nation. They are a little scared about these things, and they wanted to help directly. But it's a third world country, and a lot of corruption goes on. So we wanted to help from ourselves, from hope only. And we are really trying to make a long-term programs there in Kathmandu Valley and the northern part where the disaster happened. And even in Kathmandu, still the tremors are there. In the last month we went there, and still shaking. What time the earthquake will come, still there. And it's very very scared to be there. But people are used to now, and they prefer the ground, ground floor. They don't want to be upper level, and the first or second or third floor. And government has stopped to build the houses. Still is going on. Keep in your prayers, please, that God can spread His word through the disciples, and we want to see His words being spread out in the nation. And definitely, this disaster happened for the reason, probably, because God wants to, help to those people who are in need, spiritually, physically, even many more ahead. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your prayers.
Thank you, brother. Now I would like to invite Dahal, Danny, and Yuda to come up front, and we will have a little talk show, and you can ask questions. So if you have things on your mind, I will sit here. I'll be the moderator. So it's a little talk show. Okay? Anybody have questions? Yes, brother, please come and come forward. Do we have extra mic, sound system? And please mention your name and what country you're from and who you're asking to.
Okay. Hi, I'm Ryan from the Singapore Campus Ministry. So I just want to ask in general, like, because I live in a country where we have like resources, money, and definitely time. So how can we as like, how can I help people within like my country to, like when a disaster hits, like when I went over to Nepal, like I didn't really know what to do. I just brought like blankets and tarpaulin, but what would be better for us to be more of a support than a burden to you guys when a disaster hits, and how can we help you guys more? Yeah, like even in Japan or in Nepal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any of you want to answer?
I'm from Singapore.
Singapore.
Yeah.
Thank you. From Singapore, one brother came along with some materials in Nepal at the time.
He was there.
Oh.
He was there.
You there?
Yes.
All right. I think definitely we can pray.
Yeah.
Another thing is I feel. If we can help this, psychosocial? What do we call this?
Psychosocial work.
Yeah, psychosocial. I think so many people, they have gone through this kind of a depression. And, recently one couple moved to Indian side, and they didn't want to be upper part of the house.
Right.
Even though there is no any problem.
Right.
But they felt, no, I don't want to be up. In a house, so they were searching the ground floor. So those kinds of mentality is going. I mean, so many students in schools. Mm-hmm. If you have any group, and just prepare yourself, and come up to different schools and teaching and helping the children, because they have gone through a lot. Many women, they have gone through depression and anxiety and a very fearful life still is going on.
Yeah.
So if you have something idea coming up and helping, that will be helpful.
Okay. Thank you.
Your question is how can you help out?
Yeah, how can we not? Because I feel like, you know, when like water is being rationed, food is being rationed, how can we go there and not be a burden to you guys? Because that was my mentality going there.
Right. That's a good question. I think number one is what's important is coordinate.
Right.
Like, for example, now we're learning as a whole group, as a movement, who to talk to right away. Like, who's in charge of the disaster?
Right.
Like, for example, I think in the whole, you know, Charles is in charge of the disaster in Asia or the whole
global.
So we can talk to Charles, what to do, give directions. Now, if you go right away to the country, like, for example, go to the Philippines, when you're hit, sometimes you don't know what to do too. So but it's good to coordinate. But what we appreciate, Singapore also went to the Philippines, especially in Cebu, Tacloban, or the Wiki gives. They help out with other disciples.
Yeah.
What I appreciate is that they coordinated and they asked the leadership group, the people in charge, what can we do?
Right.
And so we'll give input. Maybe we need this, maybe we need that.
Right.
And so when they come, we're also ready. Because sometimes the challenge for the one that the victims is how we can accommodate you too, because we're disciples still. So we want to be able to accommodate even though we're hurting.
Yeah.
And so not to be a burden is to coordinate and ask, hey, we're here to serve. What can we do to help you guys out?
Okay.
So I think that I help out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question? Anybody? Okay, yes, come. We have the microphone. No, you can stand there. That's fine, microphone is coming. Name, country, and who you're asking.
Melanie Jacob, I'm living in China, but I'm from the States, Detroit, and I moved to China about a year ago, because of the language barrier and the risk, small house church, we meet for sports day but not for church services. So for me to understand hope in China, I don't really know where to start, but we have a local international women's group that raises money. And I'm on the board, so I'm trying to figure out how can I partner existing fundraising groups that have cash who would fund something that would have a good foundation like Hope Worldwide. So just trying to do talk to help them make those partnerships in Asia, because they're really going to help with the children, and they have resources. So if you can connect with someone from China or anybody other than Brazil.
I guess I'm the one to answer. Do we have Dan Liu here? Elisa Liu? They're not here. But in the conference, we have Dan and Elisa Liu, who leads the Hope Worldwide in China. And actually, they're coordinating the Hope Worldwide in the whole Asia Pacific as well. So basically, we're open to discuss. Please send me an email. We'll connect you with Dan and Elisa to see how we can support and working to help develop the capacity in China to help out. And then we'll talk some more. I'll give you my contact. Anybody else? Okay. So if you don't have questions, I will ask them. Okay. It's your turn to decide. You're going to ask or I'm going to ask?
Hello. I'm a sister from Hong Kong. Because Hong Kong is a place rather free from natural disaster, but we sometimes got asked about why God let men suffer. So sometimes we got asked by non-Christians why God let us suffer. So I want to ask, can you share your faith or beliefs about how your disciples in your country, how they face disaster and when they see people suffering in disasters?
So we got ministers here, they can answer a question. Anybody?
You know, that's a difficult question. In fact, even our teachers, Douglas Jacoby, Steve Kinnard, name it. Most of the teachers, they have this, you know, pain and suffering, and how to answer it, and how to ask, tell people about it. It's really difficult question to answer, actually. But this is where you have to build your own faith and trust in God. God is always in control. Just a few things I can tell from a minister's perspective. Suffering sometimes causes by people, by nature, and by us, our own sin. Three things. People, there are bad people because of their free will. People can just kill you. It doesn't mean God wants you to be killed. It's just people wanting to do it. They have free will. We have the gift given by God when He died on the cross, but also given to everybody, the free will. Second is, you know, our own sin. We suffer because of our own sin. Like if you know that you're living in a place where a volcano will erupt, get out of that place. You know, and sometimes people, especially in our country, we know that there's a volcano, they will still insist living there, and then when that happened, that's a natural disaster. You cannot change that, you know. So, and sometimes also our own sin, that's why we suffer. And there's also another thing that God allowed it for us to trust in him more, to have more faith that God is in control. But like what I shared a while ago, Romans 8, no matter how bad the situation is, God can turn it around. Because of what happened to the Philippines, many were also saved. People were awakened. Hey, we needed God. You know, in Tacloban most especially, people are now aware of who God is and how they need God. And so maybe today God planted some seeds, 6,000-7,000 people died, and it's really painful. But maybe from that also we'll see thousands and thousands upon, you know, thousands that will also be saved one day. That's also all from the minister's perspective.
I think, you know, my answer is that I don't know. I have no idea. I want to, you know, I get to heaven, I want to ask God. So, but, you know, we experience a disaster in a difficult situation. So many people ask themselves, you know, why these things happen. Even as a disciple, we ask it every day. What's God trying to teach us, you know? So I can say, I cannot say this is a good thing, but this is an important thing. We can learn something. So through the earthquake and tsunami, so we learn so much, and we got know that got more. And I can say. You know, I can say that, you know, we understood more deeply about God. Like that's sincere. That's my answer.
You know, in the same time, I feel that's a great thing, bro. Thank you. It's a test of our heart as well, you know, how we respond. Like in Nepal, we have earthquake, and many disciples came together, came forward to help. So that means many people became very active to help. So maybe 9,000 people died, but tomorrow, who knows, 900,000 people will be saved because of Christians' influence. This is what I take it. It's my own perspective.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the answer. Anybody else? Questions? Yes.
Thank you. I would like to know about the psychological reconstruction of the disaster. Understand?
Psychology of reconstruction.
How to help and accompany their hearts of fear. Fear and the future of hopelessness about the death, or except for things to help for heart psychological reconstruction. Understand? For example, or maybe.
Okay, we can try and answer.
Thank you.
Psychological recovery.
This is a very good question, because when disasters happen, people think also on the physical side, food, water, tent, but on the psychological side, how do you help people recover psychological side? I know the Japan, they also went through a lot. Any of you want to start what you guys do or what you think about that? But I can add first as they think. But in Hope Worldwide, a lot of our programs is not just giving water and food, but we do activities with children, play therapy in the group so children can heal themselves, because they need activities so they can express their fear, their concerns. And through playing, they will get healed from their traumatic experience. We have Ryan here, is also a counselor as well. And many other things in Japan, they were helping the handicapped and mentally challenged people to recover their trauma. This is even more difficult. Maybe he can add more if he wants to. So there's a lot of psychological. In the Philippines, they do counseling. Actually, the Philippines, they train school teachers through IOM. They were Hope Worldwide Philippines were given funding so they can train social workers how to handle children and people with traumatic influence, so they can help recover. Now, Japan is also unique, because when tsunami takes place, before tsunami, the suicide rate is already higher in Japan if you compare to other countries. So after tsunami, the suicide rate even went up very high. And they were helping people how to recover from their challenges mentally. So you have a good question, because that is very important in handling mental health, psychosocial recovery. Do you have anything to add on this issue? Come, Yuna.
So we got earthquake and tsunami 5 years ago. Like I said, we Japanese is not good at the express of feeling. We are very samurai. So we just, actually the people in Gatsunami, they don't talk. It was amazing. Like 1 year, 2 years, they don't talk. But 3 years, 4 years after the tsunami, so they started to talk. So it's like a Japanese, it's really unique. Like, for example, that someone lost one of the family member, but the next door, the person lost two of the family member. So they feel, I'm unfortunate, people more bad, So they don't talk. So then, you know, 3 years, 4 years after, you know, so people, you know, feelings came up, you know, coming up. So we decided to start the site, you know, therapy program. You know, we started that called that whole, yeah, garden therapy. So people try to touching the plants, like, you know, that, yeah, that makes, you know, healing, you know, and express the feelings. So, and then, you know, I say, you know, I can say, like, you know, even after 5 years now, so people has deep, you know, trauma and deep, you know, needs for the help, you know. So, right.
This is a very innovative approach, if I may add, in Japan, because they put people working with plants, gardening therapy, horticultural therapy, so they can express, but also people can talk. And I remember coming to Sendai, there was a man that already moved from temporary shelter, but he comes every day to the community because he has friends. And they meet, they talk. If he goes back his home, he doesn't have friends. So he comes back to the community center to meet his friends that he's talked to. So Japan is also unique, and they've done an excellent job in trying to help healing the trauma and the mental health on this.
I think what we learned is to help the heart, people's heart, is like we have to stay connecting, you know, stay longer the place, you know, we have to connect it to the community, because that, you know, we planted the church there and we live there, we still connecting. I think it's a very important thing. Yeah,
amen. Thank you, Yudai. Anybody else? Question? Yes. You can stand up.
Here, you can use this one.
Thank you. I'm Calvin from Hong Kong. I would like to ask a question for Daha. Mr. Daha, what's your faith of serving Hope for 20 years?
Faith.
You mean, what's your reason behind for serving?
All right, this is a great question for me. Even though I'm an evangelist and preaching and teaching the Bible, the Word of God, but it became a passion for me from the beginning. I left my accounting job when I was working for a company and making a very huge money. But I was called to work for Hope in 95. Then I felt, man, let me go and serve these poor children in the school. And I left that big money and went to serve. And how much the money is? Like one third. But it really gave me a joy. Whenever I go to the Hope Center in Kathmandu, it really gives me joy. And sometimes I get connected too much, and my wife says, too much for Hope. Well, that's my passion, definitely. But because, you know, you give, you know, you get satisfaction. And, you know, I mean, you are, you know, you feel that you did something. One another thing, it's a command of God to help people and to see the needy people. That I can, you know, I can relate somehow, because people are helpless, that we can reach out to them. So that motivates me.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, we have about 5 to 10 minutes. Anybody else? Questions? Yes. Did you have your hands? Okay. Now, if you don't have questions, so brothers, you guys are church leaders. You are involved in Hope. You're excited. We know the disciples are affected by disasters. We have disciples in Liberia, in Africa, getting affected by Ebola. We have disciples in Ukraine getting affected by the conflict. We have disciples in Burundi, Africa, getting affected. We have disciples all over the world getting affected. And how would you leave a message for disciples here from different countries? What do you think they need to do for as a disciple in you know, for the country? What would you say to them?
Thank you. Thank you, Charles. The brothers and sisters, I personally feel that God has called us to help each other, and especially Hope has established just to help people through disciples. And among the family itself, we help each other and those people who are affected by all these things. I think in my country, there were 12 disciples whose houses were completely damaged. And many brothers and sisters, through Charles, you know, they reached out and collected some fund, and we in Nepal, the board decided, okay, let's help, you know, how we can help them by cash or buying materials or how can we help. So I think that was very helpful for them, that the church loves us, Hope loves us, and the disciples around the world love us. I mean, they will feel, and what I feel is all of us here, and if you are planning or trying or praying for helping those kind of people in different nations, the way Charles mentioned, I think you can coordinate to those people who are there and who are in charge, and reaching out to them, what are the needs first, and writing down, and you know, supporting from your side how you can help. And making a team, or personally, maybe one person cannot, but if you have a team of 5 people or 10 people, or if you want to make a team, join hand in hand with each other and reach out, I think many people can be helped by our own hand with each other. That's how I feel.
That's a very good question, Charles. Thank you. For everyone, I know for other places you haven't experienced anything yet. We don't pray that you'll have, but in the event there will be, you know, we have examples already. I think when you help out, there are many ways. The church is so rich in resources, not only finances but people. You know, and what I would do is, when people are helping us out, praise the Lord. And I think that united us even more. I mean, disaster brings unity even more. And we're grateful for all the help. In fact, like what he shared, in Northern Cebu, we built 9 houses of the disciples that was destroyed. So from the help of different people all over the world, the disciples, we built 9 houses. Priority first, the disciples. We prioritize the disciples. We help them and then give them some livelihood program for them to start to recover. But also, I think what we encourage the people, although we're hurting, we gotta continue to give still. We can still give even more. So I would say, for, you know, for everybody, if there's a, you know, if there's a need, let's all help out. With what we're doing, we've been doing great through the Hope. But at the same time, encourage everybody. It's not just about money. We can pray for everybody. We can pray for Nepal. We can pray for the Philippines. And also, if people would like to volunteer, it'll be great. Well, we did it last year. The Hope Youth Corps, they did it in Cebu. The Hope Youth Corps. And the teams, they were impacted. They loved this. They built houses too. They experienced what happened to them, but also, you know, they built houses. They stayed for 2 weeks in Northern Cebu where they were affected, and they saw people, they saw the pain, you know, they touched it, they feel it, they understood what happened, and it gave them more, you know, faith and appreciation for what they have. So volunteering is another thing, praying, giving, and many more. You know, but I think the most important thing is that let's continue to be united. When disaster hit us, we have a church, we have the international churches of Christ that will work together. We have the Hope who's always there supporting us in many, many ways. God set us up. And we have each other, and I think that's the most important thing for us. Thank you.
I think that everybody here has a kind of heart full of hope. I think that's great. But I want to share, I was not a hope person. That means I was not gifted to serving the poor, I think. I love the ministry, doing the ministry. But 5 years ago, you know, tsunami happened. So that was my hometown. So I think I'm really convicted. So I was not belonging to the hope that time, but that, you know, nobody there from, you know, that our hometown. So I have to start the program. You know, I was the first one, you know, to go there and then start the program. So then I think my message is that I want to share, you know, then, you know, I felt God opened the window. So, and then, so I felt I had to join, like, you know. So if God opened the window, so I think you can do something. If God call you, so please do something. And then ask specific for God, you know. God, maybe God open more clearly, you know, something you can do, I think. Right. That's why, you know, I joined the Hope. And then I try to connect to the church in the Hope. Still, you know, still working on it. And then, that's maybe.
You know, what I know is all of you here, you have the heart to shine to the people in need. You know, that's why you're here. But I think for me, as I share in Matthew 25, it's a strong message for me that, you know, God comes to us in many forms, including people who are poor, who are sick, who are naked, who are in prison. And if we don't love the people, we don't love God. In Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus 5 started teaching, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You know, Jesus wants us to learn from the people. And personally, the reason why I have the energy to continue working with different countries, because I learn a lot myself. I learn from Yuda, I learn from Dahal, I learn from Danny, how they love the people. And I see the disciple signs shine, and that helps my faith. That helps my children. You know, my son is a friend of Dahal. We went to Nepal and we helped, and you know, he was baptized a few days ago before the dinner. I don't think it's here, but when he was asked by the disciple, you know, what do you want to do in your life, and he always remembered helping the people in need, because he see the hall and the different people in Cebu as well, the Philippines. So it's important, because sometimes we think about the Bible, follow God, yeah, you know, repent, be baptized, evangelize, things like that, but there's gratitude therapy that I call helping the poor. It helps your heart. When people are not open, you bring them to help the people in need, their heart opens up. They see shines. You know, you can talk all you want about the Bible, but if people come and see you loving the people, you shine even more. You know, not just the theory and all the talks from the Bible. So you need to shine in this world as salt and light. So once again, these are great people. Let's give a hand to Danny, Dahal, and Yudai. Thank you, brothers. You are my hero. You guys are amazing. And if you have questions, I know we have lunch at 12 o'clock, but maybe you guys can stay around if anybody has questions for you guys. But thank you for coming, and may God, let's close out in a little prayer. Okay. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this class. We thank you for learning the things happening in Philippines, in Nepal, in Japan. Very sad, very many people died, but the love of the disciples shines. Working together, and hope we're able to facilitate that. We pray for the disciples all around the world, people who are facing a lot of troubles. Our own brothers and sisters in northern Syria are in trouble. You know, some people died, some people got chased down. Our own brothers in the faith, we pray for them. We pray for the brothers and sisters in Ukraine, one-third of the disciples get drafted. They have to join the military to go to war. There's disciples died of Ebola. There's disciples suffering. You know, and the whole world is full of pain. And help us to grasp and understand that you have a plan, although we don't know.
Yes.
But you want us to live as disciples, to follow you, to shine, to share the love, the people surrounding. You know, we can do whatever we can physically, by financially, by volunteering, by telling the people, and help us to shine in this world. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the three brothers to come and share. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming. Feel free if you have additional questions to the Hao, Danny, and Yude. Thank you for coming.
Hello.
Hey, bro.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you for being honest. You know, it's like, I don't really want to do hope, you know? You know, it's like, I'm actually training to be a counselor, so the things you guys talked about, the psychology, the multicultural differences between the Japanese, the Asians, even the Philippines, the way that you teach people how to deal with it. It's not the same.
Yeah, right. So, right.
I just appreciate how you shared about it. You're just humble about it. You know what? I really do hope. But I do. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for sharing the heart, man.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.